How, what do those words mean, and what are the connotations of those words, and how many of them are actually comfortable words for us to use? How many are maybe more violent sounding? We talk about reasons why women have sex. That often isn't expanded on. I think we have a romantic notion. When we talk about sex, we automatically think that women or people are having sex because they're in love or it's intimacy. But often when we talk about this, the first things that come up in workshops with women are economic security, power, rent, childcare, sex for drugs. The issues of power comes up. The issues of intimacy, love, or sharing don't come up until these other issues get out of the way or are said first. So part of it is really focusing on what we're talking about and being explicit in what we want to talk about. I don't know if that answers your question, but...
I guess I was wondering, yes, you have answered my question. I'm just thinking about how gay men have dealt with the topic of talking about sex and talking about what exactly they do, right? Instead of talking around the issue. And do you think that to have lesbians and women become more aware about AIDS, that, you know, it seems obvious that we need to, do you think we should, it's necessary to sort of imitate what gay men are doing about talking about their sexuality and all that? Or, you know, where do we stand on that?
Well, a couple of things come to mind for me. And one of them, first of all, is that we have this impression that gay men talk about sex. And I'm not sure what they really talk about or if they're talking as specifically about sex as we have the impression that they are. The other thing is that guys have been conditioned to enjoy sex and to go out and have sex. It's like a good thing for guys to do, where it's not such a good thing for women to do. Especially when we're younger, guys are encouraged to go out and to sleep with as many women as they can before they're married, and girls are told not to have sex until they get married. That kind of socialization really plays a role in how we talk with men and with women about sex and what people talk about. In my experience working around AIDS Vancouver, I find that it still comes out. Guys can talk about sex, but it's not in a way where they're talking about the actual activities in a way that's being communicative. It's still often competitive. And I don't know if that's the best word or if somebody's going to scream at me for that, but I said it anyway.
Your first question, though, you know what's really funny? If you have AIDS and you become a sex health educator, when you go to a party, that's all anyone talks to you about. I'm serious. I had a partner who said, I refuse to go to this party because people will only talk to you about sex, and it was true. I never noticed it. The other thing is that men... Gay men, I notice it now though, gay men are much more pictorial with their sex than we are. We have lesbians and AIDS posters that show two women touching each other in front of a brick wall. Well, the pictures out here with men on them got censored this morning. You know, there's actually men doing men. We don't want to show our bodies. It's okay. On television, for a woman to show her body, it's not okay for a man to show his. Well, in the AIDS community and educating, it's not okay to show anybody's body except two gay men. It's not okay to show two male and a female body or two female bodies together. Only two gay men. And we need to change that. And I think there's a lot of educators in here that can do that.
I've got a couple of things that I wanted to ask about. One of them is there any work being done around making a more effective dam or safer sex protection for women? And if there is, how could we get involved in helping that along? That's one question. The other question is, I understand that there's some differences between the manifestation of AIDS in women as compared to men. Maybe you could comment on that. And the third one is that understand that if there's some interest that you guys have promised that you'd do a safer sex workshop, and I'm putting my bid forward for that. Thanks.
I can't remember them all. I have Kraft disease, can't remember a thing. Oh, dental dams. Oh, yeah, dental dams. Well, let me tell you, honey, they're out. Dental dams, as far as I'm concerned, don't work. I have never met a woman that is as small as a dental dam. What? Well, there was women before Darcy. I highly recommend Saran Wrap. It works 10 times better. It's a lot more convenient, and you can double fold it, you can triple fold it, you can fold it as many times as you want, and it's 10 times better. Dental dams, if you phone the Dental Association, they will tell you they are porous. Jackie and I met a wonderful woman in New Orleans last year, the Gay and Lesbian Health Conference, who actually took a dental dam, filled it with water, and 12 hours later the water was gone. So that proves that it was porous. The best thing that you can use is a condom. And Darcy can tell you how quick I can cut a condom with my teeth. It's quite easy. Oh, manifestations in women, right? If you've got yeast, and I'm not talking about you got a yeast infection this week and you take some Monistat 7, it goes away and you've got it again in a couple months. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about yeast that will not go away, aggressive yeast. Go and get an HIV test. If your gut is sore, if your ovaries are sore, go and get an HIV test. Don't think that, oh, it's an ovarian cyst. It very well could be, and I pray that it is, but it could be HIV. It could be an ovarian cyst and HIV. There's a woman in the room who I did some work with this year, and all of these women were diagnosed with PCP and then HIV. And she called me, and I went to the hospital, and all of them, none of them knew they had HIV. They were all diagnosed with PCP, then HIV, and in one case, CMV, PCP, and then HIV. Oh, PCP is pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, which is what most women die from. CMV is cytomegalovirus, and it can be in your eyes as well as your liver, your spleen, that sort of thing. And it's, oh, I'm going blank. I was going to say it's a cancer. It's not. Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, they're all OIs. They're all opportunistic infections. But PCP is the killer for women. What was your third question? Is there one scheduled? Got out of that one.
When the conference organizers were putting this together, they talked about caucus streams that would happen later. And we had another co-presenter here today who was going to be around to do that, but she's not even around to do this, so I don't know what happened. If you want to talk about some things afterwards, we can get together and talk about some specific things. I don't know about the actual demonstration. You know, you go to LA, they're doing live safer sex demonstrations in the clubs there.
Where?
One of the things I wanted to come back to for a second was manifestations in women. The big part about that is that a lot of the manifestations are gynecological, which aren't looked at, obviously, for obvious reasons with men. And so we haven't carried that over into looking at women's lives and how that affects women's lives. So what you'll hear about most often are oversights around pelvic inflammatory disease or human papillomavirus, yeast infections, menopause.
I think what people need to do in women, lesbians, they, oh, you're going to have a question. All right, I'll just finish the sentence.
a paragraph. What women in the community need to do is start talking about sex, put it at angles and say, you know, let's get together and talk about sex and women and just start meeting and talking and those kinds of things. So, I mean, I'll show up.
I've always thought about putting an ad in Angles that says HIV positive woman lesbian looking for same. I've often thought about that just to see, but it would be pretentious and precocious because I would be trying to get her to a support group, not sleep with her. So, and there is, I know of one other dyke in this province too, who's infected.
Yeah, I'm even quite dissatisfied with this setup because it means that I have to feel very unsafe. Most of the women in this room are white. And I just like to address the fact that I find there's an undercurrent here that, for example, when Linda was introduced, it was accompanied by the phrase that she looks like any of us, and she doesn't look like me, actually. I mean, other than the fact that I'm human and so on. It's interesting that in the U.S., syphilis is a curable disease, and black men are dying of syphilis at 15 times the rate of white men. And I think when we're addressing lesbian health issues and addressing specifically women and health issues, we can't overlook the fact that women of color, that lesbians that are women of color and women of color are lesbians. And privilege works there as well because, I mean, we're in a recession right now. Hate crimes are on the increase. I was assaulted a couple weeks ago in an assault that I can't distinguish from being a spouse assault, from being a gay bashing, and from being a lynching. And the other thing is that in terms of tokenism, I find I've been doing women in AIDS and psychosocial AIDS research for about 3 years and have been a public health activist for about 4 years. And I find AIDS organizations are running me down and ringing my phone off the hook to come and speak on behalf of women of color and women of color health issues and AIDS issues. However, in the past, for 8 years, I've been experiencing symptoms of fatigue, malaise. In the past 3 years, I've had chronic infections, eye infections for 6 months, yeast infections recurrently, and upper respiratory infections constantly, just like every day, practically. I've also been experiencing recently weight loss, bloody stools, and I've gone to Women in AIDS and asked for help, and I've gone to PWA and asked for help. And because I'm not HIV negative, I haven't been able to be sponsored. And I don't have any treatment options. My doctor did an HIV test on me without my permission. It did come back negative, but he revealed the results to my family. And that is illegal. And he also said that my problem was not physiological, that I had depression. That's why I was losing weight. And he said he would refuse to treat me if I didn't go on antidepressants. And I'm just really, really fed up because still the people who are dying, not living, but dying still of AIDS are largely people of color. And women of color are still dying even before they get diagnosed. And, you know, the phrase, we die, they do nothing, is very much applicable, and I feel that it's very much applicable to my own situation. And being outside of the scientific orthodoxy, because I'm HIV negative, but I have most of the manifestations of AIDS in women, and being a woman of color, and being a woman, and being someone who's lesbian identified, has just been an incredible problem in my life because the woman of color community does not have the resources that the white woman's community has. The PWA community works very much on an HIV positive model, even though places like the New York Native have been saying for years that CFS, have been comparing CFS to AIDS for years. And And in terms of marginalization, I just think, you know, I'm just feeling way alienated. I've been kicked out of school because of my disability, 2 courses short of a triple major. My landlord has threatened me with eviction, and my friends are in denial, and I just don't have anywhere to turn, but people are still phoning me up to do consultative work and speak as a woman of color on AIDS issues. So I just like to put that out there and just say that it's really hard for me to speak up, really hard for me to come out in a number of capacities and all of these things, really hard for me to alienate any potential allies I might have by calling white lesbians on their racism and on their ethnocentrism. And it's strange too, because when I say that I'm HIV negative, I sometimes feel that maybe people are responding to me like a sort of Kimber Gallus and thinking that I'm trying to pull sort of an innocent victim thing, but that really belittles my efforts, because I've spent a lot of my time free trying to do education to reverse that stereotype. And there's been a lot of pain in this for me.
First of all, you're right, I'd like to validate the fact that you don't look like me. However, we do share one thing, we're both lesbians. So in that regard, and I'm glad you're here. Second of all, I'm not racist. And I resent that you called me a white lesbian that's racist, okay? Thirdly, the Positive Women's Network and Persons with AIDS Society of Vancouver are for people after diagnosis. AIDS Vancouver is not. It's set up as an education module, and I believe they even, that would be the proper track for you to talk to. I understand where you're at. I understand your fatigue big time. I understand your yeast. And it must be horrible. But I'm really glad you're negative. I'm really glad you're negative.
I don't know. I think that's still missing the point. I mean, we live on a racist planet in a racist society. I would not say that I'm racist. And if a white woman says to me that she's not racist, that tells me a lot about her awareness right there. And because white skin privilege is a fact of this society, and it's something that I don't have. And in terms of being positive and not having a diagnosis, I've been trying to get a diagnosis for 8 years. When I go to a doctor with my symptoms, they tell me that it's in my mind. When I go to a doctor and say that I've been working on HIV/AIDS issues in women and that I know the manifestations, and I walk into an office with the AMA manual of HIV manifestations in women and let the doctor know that I have symptoms 1 through 16, I've been told that I'm a hypochondriac.
But the bottom line is, if you've tested negative, you're negative.
But if I'm experiencing all the symptomology of a person with full-blown AIDS, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to get a diagnosis, and how am I supposed to get treatment in the interim when I can't even get out of bed a lot of days?
I'd just like to make one comment about this. You know, I'm sure you guys are aware of being in the Positive Women's Network of the recent AIDS conference, where in fact there were a number of cases, a small number, but a number of cases of people that have AIDS diagnosis and are HIV negative. And
I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. They do not have AIDS diagnosis. They have AIDS symptoms, not a diagnosis.
Pardon me, you're correct. AIDS symptoms that make it appear that they have AIDS because they have AIDS-related illnesses, but they're HIV negative. So perhaps that might be the answer for this woman. So.
If that's true, that was an Amsterdam conference. I'm sure if you're an educator, you've heard about it. If that's true, I don't know how to test for that. I don't know that anyone in this room does, except to go see Duisenberg in France. No, I'd love to send you. I'd love to find out if that's true. We've known for a long time, PWAs across Canada have known, and in North America, that there is a third virus. We know that. But we didn't know that you test negative. We just knew there was a third. There are different strands of this virus. I happen to have the San Francisco strand, but there's a New York strand. And the other thing that's very true, too, is that one out of three children with HIV is a child of color. And one out of two children born in the Bronx is HIV positive.
In what time period? What time period? Like in a year's time period?
Which test did they give you? Okay, but there's two. There's the ELISA and the Western blot. Now, do you know which one you had?
But the ELISA is the one that they normally screen with, and then they go to the Western blot because it's more specific.
That's right. What you need to do is go into your doctor and say, I'd like a Western blot HIV test. Go to a new doctor.
Excuse me, I would like to call... I'm just watching what's happening right now, and I just feel like an interrogation is happening. This woman told us about our lives. This woman here, you know, with, I think, a lot of courage, told us about her situation. And I don't feel that the panel is giving support to this, but I support this woman for telling her life and for letting me hear it. And the comment about racism, immediately when you said what you did and what she commented on about how lesbians with HIV look like us, I immediately felt excluded.
Well, that was my comment, and I apologize for that.
I just had a comment about the use of Saran wrap. Right now, the only effective barrier is latex, and yes, it may leak if you hold something in it for 15 minutes or for 15 hours, but it's also the only proven safe barrier that we have, and I think it's been shown over and over with gay men who use condoms. It's not foolproof, and nothing is, but you can't even use lambskin condoms, and they're even, I've been told by a nurse that I work with that there are even certain brands of latex that you should be using with spermicide or whatever that are better because the spermicide kills the HIV virus. And I would be very careful about what you used if you aren't going to use dental dams to find out if it's going to be porous or not. Latex is porous, but the pores are so small that the virus can't get through. And so... And also be careful about information that you give out about what you can and can't do, because there haven't been, as far as I know, any studies that show how lesbians can transmit. I mean, yes, it's in vaginal juices, but so what? It's in your saliva, and it's been proven that you don't get it from kissing someone. So I don't know that it is or isn't true that you can get it from oral sex with a woman. It's something that I wouldn't take a chance on. But no one's done a study, and I don't know how you could do a study unless you had people, like in your instance, who are HIV positive, who has a partner, and to keep track of them as they go on. But then you'd have to watch, like if you had another relapse or something, if you had a relapse or something, did you exchange a needle or something like that? You'd have to consider everything to rule out everything else that's already known to transmit. So I would be careful about the information that you say what's safe and isn't safe, because if there aren't any studies, then you really don't know.
Okay, one of the studies that we did at home, this is a home study. We're talking about a virus here that's a killer, and I certainly don't want to give it to Darcy. In the same 15 hours, this Saran wrap didn't leak.
As far as the public, I wouldn't be giving out that kind of information to the public, because people aren't always smart, and they aren't always knowledgeable about what's going on. And they might try using something that maybe isn't as effective as Saran wrap, or maybe something that holds up water for 15 hours but will still transmit the HIV virus in one incident. And so you just need to be careful about what you say. It's been proving that the latex is porous, but it's small enough that the virus can't get through. Saran wrap, maybe the virus can or can't get through. Something else, maybe can or can't get, you know. But holding water is not the same as holding or passing and transmitting a virus. And the two aren't exactly the same. And there's a big difference. And so you shouldn't go around just telling people what you think is safe. You should know what is safe and what's not safe. And it should be a lot more, I don't think scientific is the right word, but I don't think a home study with Saran wrap is adequate, because water and a virus, or there's a big difference between a water molecule and a virus molecule. Then people
what do you recommend? What do you know that works?
I don't recommend anything because I don't know. But I'm not going to recommend Saran wrap just because it holds water for 15 hours. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Linda said, after she talked about the Saran wrap, she said that the best option are condoms. Condoms is latex that has been tested.
Right.
And I think that we have to go back to that point as an educator with this issue. I would recommend condoms also. The Saran wrap is a big debate that's going on all across North America.
And I've read the same thing about dental dams, that they're not adequate, that their pores are too big. I've read that.
Yeah.
So I don't even recommend dental dams.
No, I don't either. I recommend condoms.
But I'm not going to go wrap, you know, handy wrap or something like that in place of them. I mean, you know, I just don't think you should be putting out stuff like that. I don't think it's accurate.
And just to go back for a second, I think that we've talked about some options before, and afterwards, if you'd like to talk again, we can. Well, we could talk about that, too. I mean, I've had one conversation with you, and we haven't had any follow-up about what happened with any of those things, and I don't feel like I can be of any help if there isn't that follow-up, because I don't know what's happened in any of those cases. Could we talk about it afterwards?
So what would you like from us? Anything from us, like now, or talk about after? What can we do?
Can you use the mic? Because I think this is important to get it on the tape. I really do.
If I could just make one small comment. My friend who had to leave, unfortunately, she had to pick up her daughter, but experienced many of the same things with chronic fatigue, with Epstein-Barr. She's a disabled woman. Her health is deteriorating. And she had told me to express to you that she would very much like to talk to you. She's away for today, but she'll be running a panel tomorrow and would very much like to get together to talk about some similar issues. She was denied disability for a long time, dealing with a lot of the same things, and would like to express her support to you. And she's sorry she had to go. I don't feel comfortable telling her story now that she's gone, but...
What workshop will she be at?
With Lesbians with Disability.
Great,
and
thank you.
And she'll be doing another one right after that, but...
What time do we have to leave? 3:30.
Go ahead.
What were you saying before, sorry?
What can the panel do with this short time for you, or to close
Well,
this?
I think if you have experienced having... Or Linda, for example, has experienced having the same symptoms. I've been experiencing the same discrimination also, but also as a lesbian, as a woman of color. And I need advocacy. I've been threatened with eviction. I've been kicked out of school. And I don't know, I was the anti-discrimination coordinator at UBC this past year, but I can't clone myself and do advocacy for myself because I'm just too tired. And I just need to go to one organization that can treat me as a human being, as a woman of color, as a person that's ill, as a person that has a condition that does not enable me to function efficiently, and as a person who has all these various advocacy needs, who has been direly, direly ill and has not been able to get any treatment whatsoever, who has not even been able to get documentation in the form that, for example, the PWA Society requires to be able to get treatment. I mean, my situation just recalls for me instances, for example, in the U.S., where critically ill people of color are turned away from treatment because they don't have appropriate insurance coverage or documentation.
Have you talked to the advocates at British Columbia Coalition for People with Disabilities?
Yes, I have made a number of phone calls. People don't always seem to be prompt getting back to me. And
they have a very good reputation. They work quite closely with us at PWA.
So I mean, PWA has treatment options for a person with an immune deficiency, and that's what I have. Mm-hmm. And that's what I need.
No, we have treatment options for people with human immunodeficiency virus or the acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And I say that, and it might sound awful, but it comes from the social care of advocacy care. I know how hard it is to advocate for people, as well as for yourself. And I say that for a reason. We have 1,200 people. Or anything like that.
Okay, I mean, you just have to understand that in the meantime, while I'm supposed to be doing these tests and making these appointments and getting to them, I don't know how. I don't have any treatment.
Believe me, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm sitting with an ulcer in my stomach. Could have gone this morning for a test, but instead I'm here because this is important too. I know what it's like not to get treatment. I had to go national with this virus to fight in order to get treatment for myself as well as other women, but mainly for me. I'm not going to sit here and say it's all about other women. It's not. It's about me. So that doesn't discount what you're going through. I don't know what else to do for you. Like, I hear you, and I can offer you doctors, but PWA and PWN are set up for after diagnosis. AIDS Vancouver, where Milo works, is not. It's set up before.
Well, as long as you realize that you could be effectively denying treatment to a woman of color.
No, I could be effectively denying treatment to a woman who's tested negative for HIV.
Yeah,
There are more women of color in my group than white women. I ought to let you know that.
Yeah, but women of color often don't get diagnosed until they come down with PCP, they're at a really, really critical stage. Haven't gotten a diagnosis, like myself, what was I supposed to do? Die and then, like, go into hospital?
I hope not.
Or what?
God, I
like,
hope not.
I don't know. I just don't take this very nicely at all. You're saying what you're saying, but it just, you know, doesn't soften the blow in any way for me. It's just like a kick in the teeth, so.
Okay, I think that our time's up. And if anybody wants to approach any of us after the panel for some more information, a referral of doctors, please do so. Thanks a lot.